And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Michelle Knezovic, how are you?
Doing great, but freezing. Freezing in here this morning.
Well, look, it's your co-host. That's the guy that does it.
Yeah,
he tries
true.
To kill us all.
He does. And also, you asked for iced coffee, so, I mean, like...
There's that, too.
Iced coffee through all four seasons.
Okay.
Yeah. All four.
But you know what I mean? Like if you're really
could
that
warm
cold.
Yourself.
Yeah. This coffee's hot.
No, it doesn't
it
taste
helps.
As good.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to today on the program. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote coming up at 6:30. Our good friend Jared Stillman at 7 o'clock to recap yet another victory in Jared versus Joe for Jared Stillman coming up
yet
at 7.
Yet another.
The wins are piling up. For Stillman in this competition.
Has he won? Is that like a streak for him? I don't think it is it?
Saying the wins are piling up.
Sure. Well, let's just say
in a competition where only one person can win every week, he's won sometimes.
This is true.
Out there in that competition. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com joining the show at 8 o'clock. We begin on the Titans and the Jaguars. And, Joe, it wouldn't be a week talking about the Titans if we weren't talking about the injury report with the Tennessee Titans. Largely positive this week. We talked about that yesterday. You're getting some guys back on the field, at least in a limited capacity. Danico Autry has been out there 2 days in a row as a full participant, so looks like he's good to go coming up on Saturday. Derrick Henry, obviously back on the field as a full participant. And yesterday we discussed, would there be anyone added to the injury report this week? And lo and behold, Treylon Burks added as a limited participant with a groin injury. So, I mean, I guess the good news is, it wasn't like he didn't practice, but a limited participant with Treylon Burks with a groin injury. And like I said, it wouldn't be a week for the Titans if they didn't have somebody just randomly added to the injury report.
Yeah. Well, did we ask the question or did we say just be ready because there will be a key name?
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, you can't be surprised if you're a Titans fan. And it's not – so there's two people who as I looked at this game and thought, yeah, I really like the Titans' chances. You know, two people I definitely factored in pretty big there. David Long Jr., Treylon Burks.
Yep.
Like you said, limited participant. So today will be important. Today is the last, of course, with the Saturday game, last day of, you know, you get designations and everything. You know Long's not playing. That's too bad for the defense because they could use him. And if Burks is, you know, limited at all, that's just – one more, take down your chances a little bit more for this game. And with him, it's also, frustrating. It's got to be more frustrating for him than anybody else.
Yep.
But to have this variety of injuries and just not be able to go more than a few weeks without having something.
Well, the injuries have been a problem with him. And look, you know, one of them was a concussion where he got launched into the head right over the middle. So,
right.
I mean, look, like, what do you do about that? I mean, there's not much you can do about it, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is, what, the first one was the ankle. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the ankle, right? Back against Indy? Or was that a hamstring?
I thought he had a hamstring.
It may have been a hamstring. we'll go back and double check.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to, obviously, the mini camp.
Of course.
And asthma,
yeah.
And which it took like, you know, a month.
Turf toe was in there.
Get that out. That's what it was. It was turf toe with Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
So there's no, and there hasn't been a hamstring?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. So this is first, like, soft tissue situation.
Yeah. So you got the turf toe, the concussion, and now the groin injury. Now, hopefully, he's still able to play Saturday. You know, like I said, he's a limited participant yesterday, so I don't know what that means, but they need him out there on Saturday. You mean, you need, obviously, all hands on deck if you're going to try to win this game, and, you know, the groin is an interesting thing because you have no idea how long that's going to linger. I mean, look, Christian Fulton has been dealing with a groin injury. First off, Elijah Molden has been dealing with a groin injury all year. Secondly, Christian Fulton has been dealing with one for the past few weeks, and he didn't play last week. And I was like, all right, well, good. They can get Christian Fulton back for the game on Saturday against Jacksonville. And he's been a limited participant the last 2 days. And I don't know what that means in terms of his status for the game Saturday.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, there's a wide range of severity, you know, obviously with a groin injury or a lot of these injuries. And speaking of Fulton, so Shane Bowen, talking yesterday, and you know, you don't want to read too much into things, okay?
Sure.
If I had video to show you, I wasn't taking video. But I was sitting right there in the front
row. Tragedy for all of us.
Yeah, I know. I take some awesome video, as you know. But I asked Shane Bowen about Christian Fulton yesterday, and the look he gave, which like it was like, yeah, if we get him, you know. Now again, am I reading too much into it? I might be. It's 6:06 in the morning, but I mean, did immediately tweet like he doesn't sound that optimistic. Now Anthony Midgett later talked after practice, secondary coach, and wasn't. Yeah, he sounded more hopeful. So, but you know, limited is good. Like you said, exactly what does that mean? You know, I mean, yesterday, you know, it's just like once you get in the season with any practice, you get about 15 minutes of individual drills, and that's it. And with Burks, what I'm wondering is because he was definitely out there. Sometimes with the limited that pops up, is it because you got hurt in the practice and then you missed the last half of the practice because you got hurt?
Right.
If that's the case, which I actually probably is the case, that's not great.
Yeah.
So we'll see today. That's a big deal today because, yeah, you take him out of the offense and what do you have?
Right. Like it's one thing if you're heading into the practice and, you know, say it happened on Tuesday and you know that you're just going to take it easy with Treylon Burks just to be, you know, precautious in that situation. It's another thing if he gets hurt in the practice and that's why he's limited and then he's not out there today. Like, what does that mean?
Like, yeah, limited because you couldn't finish the practice.
Yeah, that's not.
You went from playing fully to not playing.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be if you're the Titans. So, again, like you said, if he's not in there, you know, we've talked at length about this receiving core and what all is on the table there. It would make what is already a crucial game that Derrick Henry is really the key to offensively even more of the key offensively. And not really where you want to be. I mean, it's no disrespect to Derrick Henry, but he needs as much help as he can get out there. Unless you wanted to run for 275 yards in this game.
Yeah, if he can, great. Yeah. But and again, it's not like Treylon Burks – week after week is grabbing 7 catches for 100 yards, but he's the most dangerous receiver they have. So.
Well, it did feel like as the Cowboys game went on last week, Dobbs and he started to kind of find each other a little bit. Like we talked about it on the Friday after the game. I felt like in the first full half of the game, I was like, man, Treylon Burks not all that involved out there. And then he started to find him. And then, you know, the reverse play where they picked up 20 yards with him for. I mean, there's a burst to him that not anybody else in that receiving core has.
Right. Burst and we haven't seen it a ton, but the running through tackle ability, which is, of course, where he got the AJ comparisons.
Yeah.
And he certainly did that a lot in the SEC.
Well, you know, apparently like a magician. I don't know how he stayed in balance last week on that one by the sideline, too. It was impressive.
It was impressive.
I mean, I don't know that I've seen one quite like that, the way he did it last week. So that was impressive from Treylon Burks. So, again, I mean, this is just – it is ridiculous at this point that, like, this continues to happen to this team. Just going through practice. And, look, I get it. It's not like the Titans are alone here where people get hurt in practice. But, I mean, Treylon Burks not on the injury report on Tuesday, and all of a sudden Wednesday comes around and you got a groin injury. It's just – it's amazing what continues to happen with this team.
Yeah, and – as far as everything else, really no changes.
No.
Everybody who was full again. Everybody's limited was limited again. One change, Terrell Basham. And look, he's a guy who, at this point, given the state of the depth chart, you know, I mean, he has been getting some snaps out there, but he goes from limited, and it's a back, which is you just never love to hear about, but he was limited Tuesday, DNP yesterday. So that's another one to keep in mind. But I think, you know, like Petit Frere, Hooker, I talked to Dylan Cole yesterday, and he sounded optimistic. So, I mean, they are getting, you know, a fair amount of people back. And, again, Autry's sitting there, full participant, 2 days in a row. So, there's still more good than bad if you don't take IR into account.
Yes. And also
– just ignore IR, and it's, you know, it's getting better.
I would also say probably not quite as good as we had hoped heading into this week, too, especially when it comes to, like, David Long Jr.
Yeah, that's a big one. Like Cole, it's interesting. If Cole is good, if he's right and ready, I think it might be Cole Gibbons.
Could be.
In there, like more. More of that than. But, you know, Monty Rice has done some good things, too. At least they have three guys who now have actually given them some good football. Shane Bowen did talk a bit about Gibbons yesterday and about how, you know, he's definitely the guy who will be in the right spot every time.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to look ahead to the Titans and the Jaguars coming up next. But first, Joe, Rex Road has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do have a word from FanDuel Sportsbook because, you know, FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook. Did you know that? Well, let me tell you something about FanDuel. If you're looking for new players, game props, one thing that's cool is you can combine them with other bets in the same game. You can score a bigger payout that way. And if you want to do that, which is called a same game parlay, you could do that with Titans Jags Saturday night. I'm weakening a little bit on my Titans confidence with some of these injuries, but I would go Titans. I would go Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, and I like the under in this game. I think it's going to be like a 20-17 kind of game. You do whatever you want to do. Just do it on FanDuel, which, of course, easy to use, safe, secure. You get paid fast. Your friends use it. You got all kinds of odds boosts and specials during games as well. If you're new, sign up with promo code Joe12, get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Again, $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. Again, promo code Joe12. Make every moment with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL. Got to be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First sign of your money is your only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now withdrawable. Free bets expire 14 days after receipt. Your restrictions apply. See terms of sportsbook at FanDuel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Morning.
Hey, Mark. Robbie. Hey, Joe. This game Saturday, you know, I know it's got playoff involved in it and stuff. And Titans do the run pass thing and whatnot. But let me ask you, what I wanted to ask you was, you think if Josh Dobbs wins this game Saturday, that automatically puts him in a backup role with the Titans next year? You know, if they say they win, if they win that game.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. I mean, I think that's certainly possible. Now, it's harder to answer that question, Joe, just because, I mean, we don't absolutely know who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Tennessee Titans next year. But
don't know who the GM's going to be.
Don't know who the GM's going to be. I mean, look, there's a lot that they got to get figured out. But if he goes out there and plays well on Saturday, I mean, it can't do anything but help his chances. Like, I watched him play Thursday, and look, I don't want to overstate the way that he played because, as Kaharski pointed out yesterday, I mean, they scored 13 points. So we get all that. We know what the Titans' offense has been this year, and we know what it was with Malik Willis. So Dobbs, under the circumstances, I think came in and played really well. I did watch him play and think to myself, yeah, I think he's better than a practice squad quarterback. Like, he's a legitimate backup quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and it's hard to answer right now. And I do think that potentially the Titans have stumbled upon something here. And that's the thing. Like, you don't know. And this is – I'll go back to the ridiculous argument John Glennon was trying to throw at me last week. About, you know, he's been in the league this long, and he hasn't started. So why would he be better than Malik? Like, but if you're doing it right, if you're staying in this league – if you're doing it right, you are getting better, you know? And if you don't get a chance, that just happens sometimes. I mean, just circumstantially, some people just don't. I mean, there have been some pretty good backup quarterbacks who just stand around for years because they don't get – I mean, Aaron Rodgers stood around in Green Bay for how many years? After
years.
Being picked
yeah.
in the first round, right? Like, yeah. You just don't – sometimes you don't get the opportunity. And I think
– you heard it here first. Josh Dobbs is Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you. Thank you. Please, yes, headline. But if they win and he plays well, then you're talking about not just kind of finally getting an opportunity and taking advantage of it. You're also talking about doing it in an incredible crunch of time.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing.
And look, I mean, it's talk to everybody, and it's now then this week several different people, you know, talking about Joshua Dobbs. It's nothing surprising, but it's all the exact same thing. I mean, of course, he's immediately like, oh, this guy's great. You know, this would be great to have in the building. So, yeah, I mean, I think Joshua Dobbs as the two, as QB2, is a possibility. But I still want to see him play in this game. And I'm not saying now he has to, like, win and throw for 300 to be the QB2 next year. But you still, you know, you want a certain level of player there, too. And we still have things to find out about him.
Ty on the text line says that Mark, our caller, sounds like Ed Orgeron. I don't know if I picked up Coach O vibes there, but
it's funny because I was just thinking that, you know, because Mark calls quite a bit lately. He's actually got a little bit of Buford T. Justice.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I'm talking
oh,
about?
Yeah.
Don't even look over here.
Keep on calling in, Mark. I love it.
I mean, I don't want to put Smokey and the Bandit too high on your list. You have so many movies
There's
you have
lots,
to watch.
A lot to do.
But seriously.
And I haven't started it at all.
Buford T. Jackie Gleason.
Great name.
You know,
dude.
You've heard of Jackie Gleason. Justice. You never heard of Jackie Gleason?
No.
Holy crap.
Does that surprise you?
You
should.
Oh, I start doing Buford T. Justice quotes. Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. But I can't think of any that are able to air, so
yeah.
I'm just going to shut
Let's
up.
Hold off on that one. Brandon from Spring Hill on the text line says, Joe and Robbie, as a Titans fan, I'm struggling to see a facet of the team that is a legitimate, probable thing that will make the team fun to watch again. Hoping with your insight you've got something. This from Brandon from Spring Hill
wow.
on the text line. Brandon's in a bad spot watching the Titans.
Brandon is down bad. Do you not like good defense? Like I like watching defensive linemen crush the other team's offensive linemen and make plays.
Yep.
No, that's not fun. Was Kevin Byard not fun to watch last week?
I thought he was fun.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if all you care about is offense and scoring points and all this fancy football stuff.
All that
know,
stuff.
Well, you know, then I have nothing to tell you.
Derrick Henry's back this week. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, how about
Hopefully
that?
Hopefully that works out well for the Titans.
Dude, I'm looking at Buford T. Justice Lions. God, there's so many incredible ones.
we're going to go down a
please
Buford
watch Smokey
T. Justice
and the
rabbit hole today.
Yeah, PSA for everybody. Please watch Smokey and the Bandit.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, what are the implications if Mike doesn't have the Titans ready to play on Saturday? This is from Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
If he doesn't have them ready to play, well, if they come out and they just stink and they're just awful, then look, then people will criticize him and they should. That's fair.
That's fair. I don't anticipate that really being a problem.
I don't
on
either.
Saturday. Like, I think the Titans are going to be ready to play. Now,
I do too.
Whether or not that's going to be good enough is beyond a fair question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they've lost six games in a row. And as much as you feel better about Josh Dobbs being the starting quarterback rather than Malik Willis, you're still talking about a backup quarterback starting the game. So, I don't anticipate the Titans having any problem getting up for the game or being ready to go. Is it going to be good enough, I think, is the question.
So, I mean, Heidi, how are you going to judge that? I assume you're talking about coming right out and instantly just getting smoked from the start. I mean, like Robbie said, like you can lose, you can make bad plays, you can turn it over, whatever. You can do a lot of things and you can still have been ready to play.
Right. I mean, the roster, especially offensively, is just not very good right now. So, look, it's going to be incredibly disappointing if the Titans come out on Saturday and they just get run out of the building down there, right? I mean, if, you know, this is a 25-point game, that would be incredibly disappointing to me. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I think the Titans, I don't know whether or not they're going to win, but I think this is going to be a pretty good game coming up on Saturday, just with everything on the line.
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing if it's not a good game. You know, however that comes about, that's a massive disappointment. And then, of course, you're talking about a season that ends with seven straight wins.
Yeah, Or seven straight losses.
Losses.
Yeah.
I just said wins.
You did.
Yes. Thank you.
Ben on the text line.
So I'm reading Buford D. Justice lines.
For some reason, my brother and I have an eerie feeling that the Titans will come out flat. A lot of feeling that the Titans may come out flat in this game so far today.
Wow. Is there anything to watch? They're going to come out flat. Fire Vrabel.
Well, listen, sometimes as a fan, though, you have to prepare for the worst.
And then be.
Like, yeah. Psychologically, you're
pleasantly
like, okay,
surprised.
they're gonna suck. So then when they do play good, you're like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Is that what you did before the Music City Bowl?
Oh, yeah. It was.
That's good.
Listen, I got a T-shirt, a pretzel, and I left before halftime, and I saw all the points. So we're good.
There you go.
You left before halftime?
Oh, of course I did. After the second pick six, I was like, yep, I'm good.
Jeez.
Man, that's a little fair weathering over there. I mean, it's like 5 minutes from where you live.
Yeah, you're right. It was so bad.
David in Arkansas says, what if we saved all of our winning for the playoffs or the playoff scenario, such as Saturday? They're bluffing everyone. Kidding. This from David in Arkansas on the text line.
So
very little optimism from Titans fans.
There's some sarcastic positivity.
Very little optimism so far this morning from Titans fans in advance of this game. One thing I continue to say that I think is worth pointing out. We are talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars here, and I realize that it's different, and Doug Peterson's done a good job, and Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be really good. I get all that, but they're 8-8, guys. It's not like this is 85 Bears out there.
Yeah, they've come back hard to be 8-8.
Yeah, I mean.
Right.
The Titans, I think, are going to have a legitimate chance to win this game on the road in what is going to be, from what I hear, a raucous environment down there, Duval. I hope you're ready for it, Joe.
Duval. And Michelle? Michelle's going to be there,
too? I hope you are both ready.
Yes, I'm excited. Right.
Stay away from the pool. Everything will be fine.
I'm going to give you – yeah. Well, and I saw some interviews with Jaguars players about how lit it
is. Oh, yeah.
Be.
I saw it, too.
Yeah.
And that was the terminology that they
used.
It
was the terminology. By the way, so this is your first – have you ever been to this press box before?
No, first away NFL game that I'm covering, so very excited.
Nice.
Get to experience it in Jacksonville.
Well, just understand that every other away NFL game you cover will be a nicer place than this one. There's cockroaches in the press box, and it leaks. So,
there we go.
Yeah.
Builds character.
Looking forward to that one coming up on Saturday
milky
night.
Milky pool water.
There's milky pool water down there, too, as Rex Rhodes pointed out all week. It's great stuff. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. Preds in action tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll talk to him next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Preds begin a five-game road trip tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Dan, obviously the results the past few times out have gone your way, and the offense has as well. 6 against Anaheim, 4 against Vegas, 6 against Montreal the other night. What are you seeing right now from your group offensively, and what do you like about the way that they're playing in the offensive zone?
Well, you know, Coach Hines has put a big emphasis on our speed, the speed of our D-zone exits and kind of our attack rush game. And what that's done for us has kind of spread the zones and allowed us to kind of have a little bit more time and possession through the neutral zone, which allows for better dumps, better forechecks, better retrievals, more possession time, and so on. And then, we got a big forward group, and they're doing a really good job of getting over pucks and kind of grinding them down and trying to get, I think we had something like 26 passes to the slot against Montreal, I think I saw, which is a good number, and if half of those connect, you're golden. So, I think a lot of it is mindset. We're playing a faster game, we're playing a north game, and guys, once we get down there, they're feeling it right now. So, we're making good plays, and our D are mobile. Like, there's a lot of good things going on in the ozone right now.
With Philip Forsberg in particular, you know, he throughout his career he's had, you know, he'll get on some hot streaks that are, you know, and not that he's alone, plenty of players do, but I feel like sometimes his hot streaks really get extreme. When he kind of gets in a zone, what's that look like from a coach's perspective?
Well, I imagine it depends on what bench you're on. When it's when you're on our bench, it's fantastic because you know, the term floodgate apply in his game. But you know, if you're on the opposite bench, it's a scary thing because he can score from anywhere. He's got that shot, right? He's accurate, and he can overpower goalies from outside the top of the circles, where, you know, his scoring zone's a lot bigger than most guys. So you know, so when he's feeling it, when it's going in for him, it's great for us because you know, the guys feed off of it. They look for him, and he starts to shoot more, and you know, it just leads to more offense, and right now it's going in for him in all different ways, right? He's getting to the net, he's getting rebounds, he's scoring off the rush, the power play. Like, he's doing it all for us right now, and we couldn't be happier.
Dan, how much confidence do you see from Cody Glass and the way that he's playing, the role that he's in? How much confidence do you think he has gained over the course of the past 3-4 weeks?
Well, that's a great way to put it, because that, for him, that's it, right? He's got all the talent in the world. He's got great vision. His computer's really good. He's got good speed, good energy, good motor, big tank. So for him, it's just confidence. And you know, from last year to the beginning of this year to the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's grown exponentially. So you know, that helps us a ton, because you know, he's got a really good vision. He makes the right play most of the time, and he's always got his head up, and he's always moving his feet. So so when he feels it, when he's got the confidence going, you know, that helps us a ton, because when you're good up the middle of the ice, then that, you control the game that way. And our centermen right now, between him, Novak, Parsonen, Johansson, you know, whoever's in the middle right now is really working hard for us, and then that gives you that kind of sets you up for your game offensively, and they've done a great job with that.
Dan, this next challenge, talking about you know, one of the best teams in the league and getting healthier now, how big of a challenge is this? How big of a you know, confidence boost would it be to play well and beat this team?
Yeah, it would be huge. I mean, obviously we've got lots of history with these guys, and you know, to me, they're, you know, one top team in the league, top two for sure. They I love their lineup, you know, for them. I don't love it for us, but they, you know, they're deep. They're built to win. So it'd be great measuring stick for us to see where we match up against a team like this that's really primed, you know, to make a run at it this year. And that's what we need. This is a great measuring stick for us, because, you know, they're the top of the league, and it's also a little bit of a rivalry for us. So I think you're going to see a great game tonight, and that should help us on the rest of this road trip if we have success.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Dan, I mean, obviously, speaking of Carolina, you guys have seen them a lot, like you said, and Niederreiter used to be a part of those battles that you guys had against them. Now that he's been on your side for approaching half a season at this point, what have you learned about Nino Niederreiter and what he brings to the table for your group?
I've always been a big fan of his, but I think I've been pleasantly surprised with his physicality and his, you know, he kind of fits our profile of what we want as a power forward. He's a little dirty, you know, he's heavy on the forecheck. He hits hard, he hits late, he agitates, he goes to the net. So he's, you know, and obviously it's gone in for him this year. So that's a big part of his game. So for us, he's been a breath of fresh air.
Dan, with Tanner's, you know, obviously production is one thing, and we all look at that, you know, scoring goals and the points and all that, and he had this tremendous breakout season last year, but he does a lot more for this team. Has the struggles to score this year, has that affected other parts of his game or not?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, if you watch this the complete game, you know, he's physical, he's hard on the forecheck. He's intimidating, you know, he still forces the, you know, the other team's D to get rid of the puck a lot sooner than they'd like to. And then obviously he'll throw in the tilt when the team needs some momentum. So, you know, he's been great on the penalty kill. He does a lot more for this team other than score. So that's the nice part about his game, is when it's not going in, he's still a very valuable piece to our puzzle.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against Carolina, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Big one tonight for the Predators. Really, the next couple of games, tonight against Carolina and then tomorrow against Washington, you're talking about a Carolina team, which, as he said, I mean, if they don't have the best record. I mean, Boston has been ridiculous at 29-4-4 this year. Carolina, there's not many weaknesses that they have, and we know what kind of a coach Brenda Moore is. They are really good. My preseason Stanley Cup pick, by the way. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, that was a good pick, yeah. No, it's a heck of a back-to-back here, for sure, on the road. And a long road trip. And you gotta sneak some of these types of games out to make up for some of what you weren't doing earlier in the season.
Well, the bottom line is the offensive performance from the Predators has been very good lately, and that's a refreshing change of pace as to what we were talking about a few weeks ago. I mean, look, I think it was 3 weeks ago when they took on, you know, St. Louis, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Colorado. None against St. Louis, one against Winnipeg, one against Colorado that week. And that was, I mean, it was bad offensively. And really ever since then, they've started to turn things around a little bit offensively. Now the question is, can you do it against good teams? You hung up four against Chicago and six against Anaheim and six against Montreal. You did hang up four against Vegas. But when you're playing the Carolinas and the Washingtons and the Dallases and the Torontos of the world, can you score goals against those teams? That's the next challenge for this team.
Yeah, but again, it's start somewhere. Doing it against anybody, considering how stretches of this season have looked.
Yeah,
I mean, equals progress.
No question about it. I mean, you'll take it any way you can get it, and not just offense. Like, you got to beat some of these teams, and you know, we've gone through the record of the Predators against some of these playoff teams. It hasn't been good so far this year. And look, as much as you know, they did score four against Vegas the other day. They lost the game in overtime. So you got to find a way to win some of these games too. And I just think tonight is a really big test for them. Look, if you lose it, it's not the end of the world. But to me, like, you need to find a way to win one of these next two from a confidence standpoint and beat a team that's good and beat a team that's currently in a playoff race right now.
Yeah. All right. I'd say if you can get 2 points out of these two nights.
Agreed.
However that comes about, that means – that you're hanging with them. I mean, because this is, I mean, you're way far too far into a season, you know, for like measuring stick game, but it kind of is, right? I mean, it's possibly the best team in the NHL on the road.
Yep.
So you go out and go toe to toe with them. And as Dan said, there is history. It seems way longer ago than it was.
It does. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Would you say that to make the playoffs in the eighth spot, in most years, you're going to need around 97 or 98 points?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I think that's what John Hines said, right?
About 98,
week.
Yeah.
98 is usually what you're looking at. Yeah, it's kind of like
okay,
the measure.
Okay, so yeah. I figured out through the first 33 games, they had 33 points, which was a point a game. And to get from that point, from the 33rd game, to get to 97 points, instead of averaging a point a game, they're going to have to average 1.3 points a game, which means 13 points out of every available 20, which is like 6.5 wins out of every 10 games. Do you think that they can do that? And then I've got one more question. We played the Blackhawks recently, and Seth Jones plays for them. Do you think the Predators are better off with Johansson than they would be with Seth Jones? And I'll listen out there.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I mean, look, I looked it up this morning. Preds have a 31.7% chance to make the playoffs from Money Puck. Now,
ooh,
last week it was 15%.
Up. I was going to say,
so
that's up.
It's changed a lot. You win a few games in a row and you get some points. That'll happen. To Bob's point, I mean, they put themselves in a position where they're going to have to win a lot in the second half of the season to make the playoffs. I think they know that. I mean, that's the position that they're in. David Poile talked about it the other day. Like, they got some work to do to get into the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to require a big effort. Can they do it? Yeah, I mean, we saw them do it a couple of years ago, right? I mean, they were in a worse spot than this a couple of years ago in a shorter season. Is it likely that they'll do it? The numbers would tell you no, that it's not likely that they'll do it. But, you know, this team has been known to go on some runs before with John Hines as head coach, and you're hoping that you're in the middle of one right now if you're the Predators. As far as the other question, I mean, look, I think we could say what we want to about Ryan Johansson, and I don't think he's worth the $8 million that he's been paid lately. I do think you can look back at the trade of Seth Jones and the way that, number one, the way that Seth Jones has played since then, and number two, the way that Ryan Johansson has played since then. I think the Predators, if you told them that this was the way it was going to play out and that you would have the success that they've had with Johansson, I think they would have taken it.
Yeah, it was an obvious need. You had an obvious surplus. You had a guy who, you know, wasn't going to be in your top four, and there's no way you get to the Stanley Cup final without Johansson, even though he got hurt in the midst of that run. So I think that answered the question almost 6 years ago, right?
Yeah. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. Listen, we're going to be talking about this game all day today and tomorrow, the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars for the AFC South in Jacksonville this weekend. Jags are still favored by 6.5 on the Superbook Sportsbook app. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans plus the 6.5, but I will take the Jags on the money line. And Superbook wants you to add one thing to your New Year's resolutions. It is to make money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Who doesn't love that? So Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you get the best odds boost anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. I gave you that Titans and Jags game. Plus, check out their special odds boost and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, let me just go ahead and throw this out there. I think we all know what the worst thing in sports is this week, so just establish that from the start, that the worst thing in sports is DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is some weeks you don't have a ton. This week, I mean, I think you can take that, and you know what I like to do, make one thing a best and a worst.
Oh, yes.
Because I think there's a lot of best in that, too, and how a lot of people have reacted. The outpouring of support, I think, you know, the way the coaches reacted, I think part of the worst would be the five-minute thing, which now the NFL's, no, nobody said that. Some of the other reactions, you know, that people have had to this would go in the worst. But I think there's a lot of best in this. But I have another worst that I'd like to throw out. Yeah. And it is U.S. soccer.
Okay.
And I don't know how closely you guys have followed this one, but this is an all-timer, man. I mean, this is a bad, like, reality show. So, you know, Greg Berhalter – basically, you know, Gio Reyna, for people who follow the team, he's supposed to be like this great player, and Claudio Reyna, his dad, was the captain, played with Greg Berhalter, and so Gio basically barely played, and then Berhalter kind of said, like, you know, on and off the field, he wasn't living up to expectations. So Gio Reyna's mom had been threatening and gave this information about Greg Berhalter and a domestic violence situation going back to like 1991. It was with his current wife. And so, again, I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you here, but like,
they went back like 31 years.
Soccer parents, like, this is the ultimate sports parent situation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. And now, look, to be first of all, I mean, he said they took it seriously. He went to counseling. Again, they stayed together. He apparently kicked her in the legs this night at the bar in 1991.
Yeah.
His, again, still current wife. Now, she was roommates and friends and North Carolina soccer teammates with Gio Reyna's mom.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, it's
wild.
What is, yeah. But it is an incredible, because it's like you're still, like the way this information was used by the Reynas to me is not good.
No.
And so this is probably the ultimate sports parent story of mad at a coach and retaliating.
I saw that yesterday. It's wild stuff.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Michelle,
your best. Sorry, guys.
What are you thinking about your show right now? What?
Well, I guess Joe was in there. I thought Joe was coming back with the best, but
yeah,
he's already done it.
I did too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My best is basically like the people who have reacted correctly and with humanity in the face of the DeMar Hamlin situation.
There we go.
Yeah, and I think Robbie already touched on it. Obviously, all of our worst in sports, you know, still thinking about DeMar Hamlin. My best in sports this week is going to be just TCU as a whole. And wait, was that last week? But it's okay. Them, you know, getting ready for the national champions. I mean, I remember when people, and listen, I'll call out Chase, and you ran it back on our show and said, you know, I have to put my hands up. I said it. I thought that, you know, another SEC team should have been in, even if one TCU lost the Big 12 championship. But, you know, it's been really fun to watch their Cinderella run, because we rarely see it in college football. And now to actually make it to the national championship, I just think that it's pretty awesome. And I'm really excited for the Horned Frogs. So, and I hope it's actually a game on Monday. But that's my best in sports. And then worst in sports is just the DeMar Hamlin situation. Yeah.
And Chase is right, by the way. He's just right, but this is why they should never, ever have two Big Ten teams in. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Another right. SEC team, less Big Ten team.
That's right, less Big Ten. Okay, we'll start with my best. The reaction to the DeMar Hamlin situation, and specifically his toy drive that he was raising money for. Last I checked, the original goal was $2,500. The last I checked, it's over $6 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably going to continue to grow. And I saw somewhere yesterday where DeMar Hamlin is like the number one jersey sold on Fanatics right now. And all that money is going to his toy drive donations as well. So a lot of money flowing in for his toy drive donation. And it's going to be cool when he wakes up to see that. That'd be awesome.
That is very – I know, that's the thing. There's so much when he wakes up that – is going to be amazing to him.
Yep, no question about that. So that's my best thing in sports. Worst is obviously that they're in that situation to begin with. I'll throw one not anywhere near as serious on top of that. I don't think we've talked about this. Did you see Ron Rivera and his reaction on Sunday when the Commanders lost the game? And basically, to paraphrase it, they were talking about him. So if you're eliminated today, what are you going to do at quarterback next week was basically what they were getting at. And he's like, eliminated?
We can be eliminated today?
What do you mean by eliminated? And then it came up again. He's like, wait a minute, we can be eliminated today? And it's one of those things where when he first says it, you're like, okay, well, he's joking, right? I don't think he was joking. I don't think Ron Rivera had any idea that the Washington Commanders could be eliminated from playoff contention on Sunday with a Green Bay Packers win. And, of course, Green Bay Packers won, and now the Washington Commanders are eliminated from playoff contention. He decided to start Carson Wentz for whatever reason on Sunday. That didn't go well. And now he's back with Taylor Heineke this week to close out the regular season.
No, he switched to Howell. It's Howell.
Oh, it's back to Howell. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I can't keep up.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
he had no clue they could be eliminated.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the tunnel vision thing, you know, and like this game and all that. I don't care about the other stuff. So, okay. But yeah, you'd think that you would
probably know that.
Take a couple minutes in a week to know where you are in the playoffs.
We could be eliminated
even if you don't like talking about it. Yeah, and that's why you don't like talking about it, because you don't like to say that stuff out loud. You know,
we can be eliminated today. Yeah, Ron.
Wait, what's our record?
Yeah, you can. Well, I'll be
honest.
What's
our mascot name?
First off, I really like Ron Rivera.
Oh yeah,
I think he's a good coach. He just happens to be at a franchise right now that is
rubbing off on him.
Maybe a little bit. But I will say, like, that is – him saying that is one of the most Washington Commanders things I think I could possibly think of. Like, oh, yeah, we can be eliminated today. Sure can, Ron.
Hey, listen.
Enjoy yourself tonight.
Hey, congrats on your 50-50 raffle win. Now, wait till Thursday to cash the check, okay? We got to move a little money around. Thank you, Washington Commanders.
Well, then they came out with, I guess, what was like their new mascot the other day. Rough, man. That franchise.
Major Tutty?
Yeah. And somebody was somebody was talking about this on the text line the other
Major
day.
Major Tutty.
And I was like, you know, I think they need to hire me for no other reason than to just be the guy that says, hey, guys, I don't think that's a very good idea. Let's not do that. You need like a, hey, that's a bad idea guy at some point in an NFL franchise.
That's a good idea. He Thanks. Should talk like Buford T. Justice, which, by the way, so many lines I want to say by him on the air, and I can't find one that I can say.
Yes. Chuck on the text line says, the best is Tulane coming back to beat the Trojans. Ty says, the fact that Rivera went with Wentz over Heinicke is unbelievable in that game. It was. Look, I understand that you know the Taylor Heinicke experience started to go downhill a little bit, which, yeah. as we've talked about, once you get these quarterbacks in there for an extended period of time, a lot of times that happens.
Yep.
But – how our thought could ever be like, yeah, let's go back Carson Wentz. Let's do that. I don't know how you can get there anymore.
I don't either, man. Yeah.
So. Good luck to Ron Rivera and the Washington Commanders as they move forward here with Major Tutty.
And Major Tutty.
As their new mascot. This is the best and worst things in sports. You can check it out every Thursday morning at 6:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. Another victory for Jared yesterday in Jared versus Joe. Rex Road is heartbroken this morning. We'll discuss it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.